First planning meeting to order, annual planning workshop meeting. If you would stand and give the invocation and pledge your allegiance.
Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to gather and discern your will for our community. Be with us during this time that we might celebrate the things we have done in the past year and look forward with hope and renewed sense of vision for what's to come in the coming year. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, well, thank everybody for coming out in the middle of the day and giving us your time. And y'all keep all these sick people in your prayers. I think Sandra's sick right now. She's the only one in this group. So let's pray Jimmy don't get it.
Yes.
And Kevin, I guess you've got the floor for the next 3 hours.
Yes.
How about?
3 hours and 8 minutes.
So, I thought I'd give you a brief agenda for today. So, we did build some breaks in. We have snacks and drinks over here. And if you'd like coffee's in here. Mike or I will help you get it if you want. And in the bathroom, we're out here. As I go through this, I hope if you have anything that comes to mind that you want to say, that you'll just say it out. I've broken it into more or less hour-long chunks. I don't think that we will go all the way to 4:15, but that is dependent on your level of discussion. For the most part, today is meant, and I have you a handout, and I wasted a lot of paper on purpose. I printed one slide only on the front, hoping that if you want to take notes, you have plenty of places to take notes. When we meet tomorrow morning, we'll meet in here, and we will have Chip Bentley from Appalachian Council of Governments, and he's going to do more or less what Jeff Shacker has been doing for us the previous years. Ask you to talk about the things that matter. We put those up on the board. Chip's process is a little bit differently. Rather than create a really, really long list, he's going to have you create a list and then start prioritizing the top. It's about the same. I've seen the outcome of what he's done in the past, and I think it'll serve us well. So again, as we go through this, something comes to mind, please say so. We are looking for this to prompt your thinking for tomorrow, so that when you come in here, you at least know what me and the rest of the staff are doing and what we're thinking about. I tried to put everything I could think of up here on the screen. This is just a reminder of what we're working toward. We do this planning workshop every year so that you are informing us, your staff, on what we put in the budget that we then bring to you through the budget workshop process. April the 30th is when we roll out the actual budget to you. And we will give it to you in summary format, and we'll give it to you in line item format. Looking to have first reading on May the 14th, second reading, or public hearing and first reading on May 14th, followed by the June 11th city council meeting. And I failed to mention, Reagan is not here. Reagan has the flu.
So he can stay home.
I asked him to stay home. The reason that depresses me just a little bit is I have become really dependent on Reagan. I had to do more work this morning than I should have had to do had Reagan been here. Just to show how quickly me and I think a lot of us have become reliant on him. So last year we did a priority setting workshop. This is the one that Jeff Shacker did with you. You divided your thoughts and your ideas into four categories: things that we must do, things that we should do, things that we could do, and then we just had a long list of other ideas that we had. I'll tell you, we did some from all categories, and I don't think we completed any category. a lot of words here, but I thought it was important that to remind you, because remember, you have this as a resource to take home to remind yourself of what did you say last year that was important to you. All three of these scored as your top priority. To complete a CIP, which mostly had to do with infrastructure improvements pertaining to the water and more to the sewer system. We were successful in securing SCIP funding, which is great. Makes it sound like we did a whole lot more work than we did. We're thankful the state gave us that money. We filled out the application, and then we prayed over it. In essence, we have about $5 million to do projects for sewer. I'm going to show you some more stuff as we go about our sewer system. And we continue to work on the consent order. Consent order has been laying a little bit quiet for us the last 2 years. I expect in 2024 it's going to get to be, I'm going to come with you with more things. You know, the sewer authority is under consent order. Their consent order requires them to monitor our actions. So we are going to have, we have already started setting meeting dates for us to begin reporting to the sewer authority what we're doing with our wastewater system. And I've got to document what we said we would do. We're, for the most part, on track. The SCIP funds, we would actually, we're on task to begin those improvements later this year into 2025. The other one was to close the consent order. We're not quite to the point of closing the consent order. We will see as we go through. Andrew, if you'd like to sit over there, welcome.
Thank you.
As we get a little bit further into doing the activities for the consent order, we have to strategically think if we actually want to close it. By having a consent order, whenever we apply for sewer money from the state, we go into a bracket that's in, I want to say, just the top third, and that is because we have a consent order. If we don't have the consent order, then we don't get put into that top third for consideration for funding. Right now, it's okay because we've secured SCIP. We've got a little bit of time to finish that. We're going to talk about Rural Infrastructure Authority funding, too. So it's one of those things, do we close it out? Do we leave it open? We can certainly request what we're going to, what we would choose to do, and then there is also what goes on at the sewer authority, and we don't know. They're doing two things at the sewer authority right now. They're doing a basin study, and they're doing a regional planning study. The planning study, you might remember, is designed to decide if there needs to be a new governance structure at the sewer authority. And depending on that decision, could change a lot of what we do around the middle of the year. Those reports are both set to be done in the June to July timeframe. You all good? You happy with sewer? Rebecca, you still have the poop icon?
I do.
The poop emoji. Rebecca's got a poop emoji in case you want to see it.
It's
squishy.
I threw it in my bag. Ta-da. Put it right there to remind y'all.
So does that get thrown at him when he's feeding us BS?
Yeah, do you need me to pass it down?
Yeah, I didn't bring one for you.
I see that.
Hall Road Rec Project, it's in the works. The big thing is we secured the $5 million from the state. We have submitted the grant for the LWCF Pavilion Project that's worth, between our money and the LWCF's money, $1 million.
Hey, there's some gravel down there, too.
There's some gravel down there, and if you were to go down there, you'll see a lot of the trees are going down.
Yeah.
They are grubbing it. The reason we're grubbing it is we had to have an environmental report done in order to apply for the LWCF grant. They identified a spotted bat that either exists on the property or exists near the property. And you have to do your construction activity while the bat is hibernating. Or you can't do the work, or you cannot do the work if the bat is not hibernating, which is in the spring. I didn't make that part up. It can be poop if you want it to be. So if you see a lot of stuff going on down there, all we're doing is trying to grub it. We're just trying to get the low-level brush down. We aren't going to mess with the tall trees. We rented another brush hog. So we have one. We rented another one. The guys have been down
there. I was going to say, there's a little more clearing.
Yeah. And if you go back in the property, you will see how much clearer it is, which is why the gravel is up at the front of the road.
I didn't go down. I wasn't wearing the right shoes yesterday.
So when you got the right shoes on, our guys are doing a great job. And it's not really to save us any money except to prohibit or to help try and keep us from not having a delay from construction. We also have received, what you may recall, we did two parts with the sports facilities company, a market analysis and then a pro forma. They have completed the market analysis. They're now working on the pro forma. The market analysis came back and actually showed the current estimate to build the gym is a little bit cheaper than the first estimate we had. However, it came back and the estimate to build the baseball fields are a little bit more expensive than what our original estimates were. The amphitheater stayed about the same. They are on task. I got an email from them late last week to deliver us the final product by the end of February. So.
When will we apply for the next grant?
For
the Hall Street project.
So we have the annual state budget cycle, which we have already submitted for that again. And then as these grants become available, LWCF is the big one that we can go after, and we're in the pipeline for it. The Community Development Block Grant is the other source of funds. We can only have two of those open at a time. We have one open at Anderson Park and one now open on Main Street. So I hope, Davey, we complete Anderson Park this year. Everything is ready to go back out to bid yet again on the 24th. It's tomorrow. And so my hope is that we get that done. We can close it out, and then we can go after more money here. In the must-dos, the number twos, Main Street revitalization, additional and upgraded parking, strategy for addressing dilapidation. I think we made a lot of progress on this year. We completed the master plan. We completed the market study. The master plan was done by Bolton and me. The market study was done by Libby Embody and her group called Authenticity. We used the master plan and the market study, both of those together, to secure the $750,000 that we received in the Community Development Block Grant funds to redo the streetscape and make the improvements. Today, Rebecca has some documents that we will submit for the Appalachian Region Commission funds. You also passed the vacant building registry, which we have implemented, and I think we're near a deadline. I know Bob was getting a lot of calls yesterday related to the deadline and the vacant building registry. We had some people clean their buildings up a little bit. A couple of people put them on the market, so we'll see if.
Really?
As if they're actively being marketed. Come on in, Sean. You can sit. We got some seats.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Oh,
yeah. If it's being actively marketed for sale, then they register it with us, but they don't pay all the fees that are associated with it. So there are a couple of properties that went up for sale on that.
So that doesn't necessarily mean
You know, as we go through it, we may ask for an updated contract because I think we have the right to be able to see if they just put a sign up or do they actually have an engaged realtor to try and sell it. What are they actively doing? There was a lot of activity when we sent the first letters out for folks to register their vacant properties. I think if nothing else, we let people know we're paying attention to vacant buildings, that the property owners, particularly the folks that are out of town, that just annually send in their tax payment and don't do anything, they had to fill a form out. They had to come up with a plan. They've not had to do that before. Your other number two was add an assistant to the city administrator. I put Reagan's picture in there mainly to make fun of Reagan. I thought he would be here. So I don't know if that adds to it or takes away. We were talking just a few minutes ago how important Reagan has become to us very quickly. I think that speaks to the quality of Reagan, not necessarily to the quality of me or anything else. He's a smart guy. He showed up. He's eager to achieve. He wants to work. But today he's got the flu, so we asked him to stay home and not spread that around.
Did he go home yesterday with the flu?
He did not go home yesterday, but
he pushed through. He didn't feel good.
He had a planning commission meeting last night, and I told him he had to stay. He could go home.
It was terrible because I wasn't spoken to him yesterday.
I did too.
I was shut up in the office with him.
Like him was going out to Walhalla and waved at me on my run, and I thought it was.
Well, he could have gone home for lunch.
Oh, could have been.
He may have.
So we had address fire this year and plan for police. Well, we addressed fire this year. You know, we had an open question last year on what were we going to do. We pursued the path of turning it over to Oconee County. We saw what that would look like. We went back. We negotiated what it would look like if we kept it. We were able to get the amount of funding that was necessary for the chief to hire three new positions, which he did in very short order, I might add, by the way. They are all three on staff, trained up, because we hired guys that already had some level of certification and training, so you weren't starting with, not everybody was just greenhorns.
The greenest one we had about 4.5 years experience.
Wow.
Good
job.
Plan for police, so I think we have it. That one shows up someplace else. And we'll talk about this. You know, last year we had frozen two of the positions in the police department. We effectively unfroze them for this fiscal year by funding one that was started in October and one of those that was set to start in January. Of course, with Matt leaving, Caitlin filling in for us, I give Caitlin a lot of credit because at one point we were going to be down to four. She talked one of the officers into staying that was going to leave, and then in short order she hired two new guys. Now they are greenhorns, so we have one that will go through the academy, one that's been through the academy but is doing his, is it called field service training? Field training. I feel pretty good about where we are with those two things right now. And we did get our check, did you say last week, from the county, the $550,000 for the new,
for fire.
So we'll keep talking about that. And in the last part, address the CDL pay. I think you have done a good job at leading the way to pay police and fire more. I think that stopped some of the staff losses that we were having because of pay. Same thing, right now utilities is fully staffed. This is the only time we've been fully staffed since I've been here. And we have three, do you know? I always look to you to remember what I don't.
No one's.
But the CDL drivers.
Oh.
So Kevin Harbin.
There's at least three, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
So we are now at the point where our pay on CDL is attractive to some of these guys. They still have, the last guy took a pay cut to come here, but he's not on the road all night long.
Yeah.
So he's working the day shift, he gets to spend time with his family. But before we weren't competitive enough for a guy like our most recent hire to even consider making that change.
Not to throw us off topic, are we still pursuing the Blue Ridge partnership?
Yes. And that's in here, too. So then you go to your should-dos. So those were your must-dos. We got most of the must-dos done. So you come into your should-dos, the old magistrate's office. develop a plan for the building, explore partnerships. Well, we did that. And Andrea Harbin is here. She is the Chamber's Westminster representative. That's what I'm going to call you, Andrea. Is that where?
That will be fine.
And she has an office in the front of the old magistrate's office. We still have some work to do. Derry, Andrea, and I are meeting in the next week or two to talk about some of the next steps. We also had an evaluation done by the Boudreaux Group to look at what the cost of renovating City Hall would be and renovating the police department so that you could have, in essence, like a welcome center in the front half of it, the police department in the back. Those estimates were pretty high. As we go through the next couple of months, I would like for us to keep talking about what we may do in terms of a solution. So you have a council chamber to be in, and we have a space that's more conducive for the police department and then maybe for the chamber. Reagan is working on some funding options right now to help kind of pay for most, if not all, of what that would be. So as we keep going, there's more to explore there. And I look forward to seeing what the Chamber of Commerce plans to do and visit Oconee. I thought we took a really big step when we got Andrea located in the front of that building.
Absolutely.
And now we've got to take some more steps. We've got to do some, we got to spruce it up a little bit more in the interim and then decide what the long term.
Can I ask a question about that? Is the cost the reason that we heard no more about that, like in council, or did I miss it?
You didn't miss it.
Okay.
To renovate City Hall and to renovate the building next door, and City Hall would in essence have a council chambers on the first floor,
right,
and all the staff offices would move upstairs. The police department, old magistrate office, would have the front half as welcome center, and then the rest, 60% of it would be a renovated police department. That was gonna cost about $1.8 million to do those renovations. One of the things I think it would be good for us to talk about going forward is, do we want to look at a different building? So to renovate City Hall, part of what is so costly is, you all know this, when you come into City Hall, you're on one floor, and then there's a basement. And then if you come to my new office, you got to go up some steps, platform, and then up some steps. Jimmy loved to come see me up there. Me, Jimmy, and Michael all love those steps, and I'm being very sarcastic when I say that. So to renovate City
Hall. I'll come in there by myself at night.
Well, that's because Michael says it's haunted. So
it
that's
is.
Between you and Michael. To renovate that building so you have a council chambers is costly.
Yeah.
If we were in a different building that is one floor, it's going to be less costly. So an idea that we have thrown around with the staff is, should we sell City Hall? Because an office could move into it right now and use it, buy another building to put City Hall in that would be easier and cheaper to renovate. Just something that we've thrown around, nothing that's baked well enough to bring to you for action, but something that you may want to think about today and tomorrow, where that ranks in your priority. Because we aren't working weekly on this. We did some work on it this past summer and saw the cost, got Andrea next door, and then just kind of parked it there until we get to this year.
Is there already a piece of property that we own that we could build on?
No, I guess what I was thinking of would be to buy an existing building downtown.
And get all this property here too?
You could build it from the ground up, or you could renovate an existing building where the renovation cost would be a lot less cheaper than building from scratch. But those are all things that I think we decide if that's something we want to begin tackling in 24, or is it something that, you know, we're making this work, I think, right now, fine.
Kevin, what are some of the upgrades to the police department and renovations?
Most of those renovations that we identified that would be nice to do would be to have an area set up to do interviews and have space that is just a little bit nicer for the officers. That the actual, if you imagine the building that we have right now, the way those plans drew it up is that back half where Judge Derrick's chambers were, that would become part of the police department. And we would have more storage, we would have better interview rooms, and then we would just have better space for the officers.
Would that include like better evidence room and stuff like that? Yeah. House is bad shape there.
Yeah. Stuff that we need. And a more secure, I think we called it gun locker, gun room.
It's like an armory.
Simpson Street Fields, we had a great time during the thunderstorm to dedicate Yusuf Fields, which is what Herb says everybody calls it. They just call it Yusuf Fields now. But we have some more work to do. Herb, last week we turned a guy loose to go out and get the grass to be a better quality grass out there so that we can play this spring. We still need scoreboards and sound systems. I hope that our work that we're doing with the sports facilities company, we can find those things a little bit cheaper than what we've priced them so far. Excuse me. But there's still some work to do, and Herb needs those fields to be ready for spring play. You guys know this, the old Westminster School has now been sold, and we are not counting on that baseball field to be a practice field at this point. We may still have it, the ability to do that, but Herb is planning for more stuff to be out at Methley Fields.
Did we ever do anything other than the banner?
No. We need to do a full sign, and we have a project that we're doing on February the 3rd, which is not very far out now. Trees Upstate has agreed to come in, and they're going to plant. I'm going to say 40 trees. I don't remember if it's exactly 40. If you go out there right now, you can see where we have cut into the parking lot, put curbing down as islands for the trees that would go across the parking lot, and then they would actually extend into going up that road to where Owens Field is.
Are these going to be big enough trees? Is it just for aesthetics? Are you looking at these oaks to provide shade one day?
Yeah, they should provide shade in three
They're
or four.
They're not going to be these little trees.
They're not going to be these little scraggly trees we got from the state. These will be out of the gate. I think they are 50-gallon trees.
Okay, that makes me feel better. We're doing all this curbing and put in a shrub.
And we did that at City Hall. Yes.
I get it.
Well, we also thought we were getting bigger trees.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting twigs, which we appreciate, and we're gonna coax them up to be big. But these will be big.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Great grandkids. These will be bigger right out of the gate. They're paying for these. We did the curb cuts, and we'll staff the volunteer day. But hopefully there will be enough high school and middle school kids to come out on the 3rd to plant these trees.
When? On the 3rd?
February 3rd. Okay. First Saturday in February.
Is this something that was in your administrator report?
It's been in my administrator report since August, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you've read it any time between now and August, you might have picked up on it.
I have.
It fell out of your head, did it?
It's just one of those things.
Yeah. And Trees Upstate, it sounds like I'm focusing on them a little bit right now. I guess I am. They also are going to do a tree giveaway at City Hall that is going to come a little bit later in the year. I don't know when that is going to be. But they go around the upstate of South Carolina, and they bring about 100 trees each time, and we will help market it. And they usually have about 10 or 12 variety species of trees, and they're usually 10-gallon trees, I think, 5-gallon, 10-gallon. I don't know. I got all my gallons mixed up on them. And they're free.
Okay, can I ask a question that's potentially, let me call it an uneducated question.
Mm-hmm.
How big does a 10-gallon tree grow to be?
I think it's...
It can grow as big as it wants to be. The 10 gallons is the size tree it comes. I mean, it's probably going to have a
It's going to be bigger.
Let's talk about that big around, maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably 4 or 5 feet tall.
It's really just the age of the tree.
Mm-hmm. They start it in a 10-gallon container, and it can only get so big before
really
they have to upsize.
What I'm really asking is how big of a hole do I need to dig in my yard for a 10-gallon tree?
They give you great directions on paper.
You just double the size of the pot.
They give you a set of instructions on how to do it, and we will start amping up that.
Because I've got one I need to replace, which is why I'm asking.
Yeah. Here's how you do it. If it's about that big, you make it about that big.
You can also go online and look at their website, and they give you all that information.
Look, I looked to the expert side. I didn't know.
You measure the width of your bucket and must dig a hole twice that size. Put it in the middle. There you go.
Take your word for it.
That's it.
Give Ash what he needs to make it happen.
Ash can do it. He can do it. His hands do fit a shovel. I've seen that.
Demo the old fire bays on the back of City Hall. We did it.
You did.
And we have been trying to get grass to grow since we did it. We've been trying to get the grass to grow on a budget, which means we could have brought sod in, we could have brought a lot of dirt in, but mostly it's me fussing at Kevin Harvin and Kevin Harvin praying over the dirt. And you see,
hey, he can plant soybeans that come up or corn, but he can't grow grass. Farmers can't grow grass.
You got Kevin praying over the dirt.
We've tried not to spend any money on that, and we've got something that's green in color, so we've been moving along with it.
Okay.
Because really, we didn't have $20,000 set aside to come in and really be able to amp that up. You all know, I think, that we had Arbor Day the first Friday in December. The Lazy Daisies. Thank you, Lazy Daisy Davey. And are you a Lazy Daisy
Davey? I am.
Yes, she is.
I am.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I have been for several years.
Oh, I'm sorry, you weren't there when we planted the trees.
You are correct, I was not.
Well, they call them Lazy Daisy because sometimes they'll come, sometimes
they'll not come. You pay your $5 a year, you can come whenever you want.
Well, Lazy Daisies gave us $500 to plant ginkgo trees, which we bought from Headley. I think that little area is going to look really great this spring, and then next fall, I think the City Hall campus is going to look even better. Between the scraggly trees we got from the state, the ginkgo trees, and then the ones that we'll get from trees upstate, we're making good headway.
We're going to just have a forest downtown.
And we still have Melanie Davis on cue to come and do the mural on the back of City Hall.
Fantastic.
Waiting on her to recover. And I saw her at the opening a couple weeks ago, and she's recovered.
She have injury or sickness?
Yes.
She fell off a scaffold and broke her wrist, had a concussion, so we had to let her wrist had to heal up so she could paint again.
She was sick over the weekend. I saw her.
Yeah.
Has she given us another drawing to look at? I know you showed me. Show me one
moment. No, the site, so we had two parts. I think you all saw it. There was one that had Westminster that was kind of written in a graffiti-looking type style. I was going to ask her to take that part, and I had forgotten until I was going through this that we wanted to have something that honored the West Oak Warriors on the back of it. The other half, the tall part, is more of a collage of Westminster's history from old to new, so it's got old representation of the depot end coming up to the new, old police cars to the new police cars, and then some of the folks, as Melanie has said, prominent Westminsterians through the years that she would represent on the, and it also honors the fact that the fire department was there, so that's kind of the key component to it. So I expect this spring that she'll be out there, kind of depending on what her schedule is. Good news. One we took absolutely no action on. for the 27 city-owned tract on the Chaga River, evaluating prospects of for the property, conceptualized project uses. Just something we did not get to this year. We have done a lot of work on our raw water intake out there. Most of that was funded with the Oconee County ARP money. And so we probably are going to have some things come to you in the next month or two to be able to finish that off. Okay. Step up code enforcement on Highway 123. We have made a lot of really bad things go away that were on 123. I've ridden up and down the corridor a couple times in the last couple of weeks just looking. I wish I had videoed some of the things that we removed or had removed or asked the property owners to remove that aren't there anymore. We're not there yet. We still have some to do. But I was telling somebody recently that we move at a slow yet deliberate pace with code enforcement. Some of you remember there was a code enforcement officer a few years back that really upset the apple cart. We are not up for doing that. So every step that we take with Bob, and we had to slow down a little bit to do the vacant building registry, because Bob is the one who does all of this and managing a lot of the planning work as these things come in. So we still are moving, but we're moving slow.
Quick question, Kevin.
Yeah.
On that, if I remember right, there are like three levels, three gradings on the type of buildings, what shape they're in, whether they're in or whatever else.
Yep.
You said that I think the majority of them were in really bad shape. Are we still, how have we done on those? Because I didn't know which buildings they were. I had an idea.
Well, for the vacant building registry, Chief, do you remember the three different levels? Because I left Michael and Jeff, our fire marshal, out of this, and I shouldn't have. They have been as instrumental in us getting this going as anybody else. Bob just manages it. We have three different levels when you register a building based off its condition, and I would say about a third of them were in that worst condition. And we have three properties right now that I could bring to you for us to demo. We just haven't. We've got the funds to do one of them, but we don't have the funds to do all three. So it's a matter of setting a property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could name the third category.
You can name
strike a match.
Yeah, so category one is no code violations on the vacant building. Category two is minimal code violations, and category three is substantial. And so I would say roughly a third of those are in the substantial category.
A third of the vacant buildings
are
in the strike match category?
Yes.
Substantial.
Fireball.
Fireball.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we, is that, as far as which one of the three or whichever ones they are that we could do, is that something that you're going to bring to council, or is that something that's going to be decided?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, the three that we have that we could go, we have properly notified the property owner. We have followed the International Property Maintenance Code. We've given all the notices that we would have to. I mean, we could bring it to you, and if you authorized it, we could go out and have it demoed and put a lien on the property. The first one is the greenhouse next to Sanders for Funeral Home.
Right.
Yeah.
The second one is the old Barrett property. The old white garage that sits in between Main and
right there,
what's the other name?
Billy
for that?
Campbell's.
Not Billy Campbell. This is.
To what Windsor?
The old Carl up front.
The old Carl.
What?
It's the one that Chris Cleveland owns.
Yeah.
The old
That's one that needs demoing.
Yes.
Yep.
Or they have not rectified the issues we identified to them, so we could go do it, and we've given them a sufficient notification.
The building's salvageable if somebody would take it up.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, any of these, the property owners, probably the greenhouse is the only one that you couldn't salvage.
And then is the third one the Hall Street Apartments?
The third one is the Hall Street property.
Is there any movement on that at all?
So what we, from time to time, weigh is, do we, I don't know that we have enough money to go demo those apartments. I think we have enough to do the greenhouse. But because we kind of categorized all three of those in the same bucket, I've struggled with what to do in terms of bringing it to you.
The apartments, I'd prefer not to tear those down. There's four or five people want to buy them now.
Can't
if we could just get this guy, if this guy would just turn them loose, or we could do something besides demo them, because you demo them, there's a very, very low chance somebody's going to go back and build them back. But if somebody could buy them...
Something in between that's going to ask, you know, to take the land, whatever, and then try to sell it. I mean, is that possible or is that not possible?
No, you have the right to exercise eminent domain where you can actually go in and take property. I don't know how we would make the case on that, because you've got to prove, you know, the public purpose behind it, and most of that is related to utilities. There is some that gets into economic development, and I had a brief conversation with Lawrence Flynn one time about it. I don't think we can make the case on that. So we can keep levying fines. And sending them letters. We did have one of those letters the guy signed for within the last 2 months.
Really?
It was right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. Is he alive?
So. Yeah. Oh, he's alive. Yeah.
He is. He just won't return calls or answer his door.
If you get the right friend of his on the phone, the friend will hand him the phone, and then he'll say, yeah, I'll call you back when I'm in my office, and he won't call.
So there's no way we could take it like you would into a tax sale with it. If we get it, we're going to have to tear it down.
Well, and we still don't get it. What we do is we would pay to demo it, and then we put a lien on the property so that when it sold, we would get paid that back.
But we can't put a lien on the property unless we tear it down.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, with the vacant building registry, as time goes on, he's going to have to pay more and higher fees.
And I can appreciate that, but how long can this go on?
Well, you know, this is a struggle that's a lot of cities have.
Yes.
If you even look over at Seneca, some of the issues they've had with a few of their buildings, mm-hmm. even with all the momentum they've had, same issue. So it's a challenge. But to all of your point, the reason we haven't brought the demo of those apartments to you, because we'd really hate to see them demoed too. I think they could be rehabilitated and would be useful.
So your demo estimate includes stuff like asbestos or mineral oil.
Yep.
Do we know when those buildings were built?
Probably could find out.
Can I ask? Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to ask the question.
Hey, I did.
So is there any type of mediator or something we could hire to mediate the situation to where, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how expensive that would be.
The biggest challenge is getting the guy to respond. Like, I don't mind saying this out loud. Chris Cleveland, who owns the White Building.
Right.
I called it the very building. Okay, I'm sorry. I can get Chris on the phone. Chris has got plans. Chris would like to sell the property. He's got his idea of what to do, maybe doesn't really align with our idea of what we want to do, but we can get him on the phone.
Yeah.
He owns the Bills property.
Right.
We asked him to put paper in the windows. He did it on both of them. He's done kind of the minimum of what we've asked him to do, but he is responsive. The guy that owns those Hall Road apartments is nothing. Even the couple that owns the greenhouse, like when we cleaned that property, she burned me up on the phone. We could get her on the phone. She doesn't want to tear it down. She says she's going to fix it, but then she doesn't fix it. So we've gone through enough of the steps that we could go in and demo it.
And then how much time is it taking from y'all to do all the things that need to be done?
Yeah. So I would expect to bring this to you in the spring once we get through the budget and talk about what do we want to do, okay. And in particular with these three properties.
How about with law enforcement over at those apartments? Do we have any problems with that?
I think when we start the Hall Street project, he's going to jump back on it. He's either going to start remodeling them himself or somebody's going to offer him enough to where he'll turn it loose. Once that starts, that's just too valuable a piece of property once that project starts.
Yeah, well, I mean, the strange thing that we had with that property owner is when folks were living there, they weren't paying rent. They told us they hadn't paid rent in 2 years, and he was paying the utility bill. So he was receiving no income from the property, yet he was paying the utility bills. So, I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to do.
Very nice.
But if you were a resident there, although the floors were falling in and it really wasn't safe for them to live there, which is ultimately why we had to board it up.
And then the mister that owns the bills has houses for rent in Westminster, but now he has one. You can either rent it or buy it. There's a red
sign and a black sign.
$50,000 for that house, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Anderson.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think one thing I hear people bring up a lot, and then as we talk through now about the registry and stuff like that, but they say it all the time, the vacant buildings. And I think they see the cleaning up. They see something really that's going really well. And I appreciate Bob's, what he communicates with people and how he gets things done. But I think if we could get one thing big, to really say, this is a vacant building, we've gone through all these processes and we've moved, and I know y'all feel the same way. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No, we do. Like the struggle in coming to you is you've got these three pieces of property.
Right.
They're ready. They're ready for you, or everything has been done for you to pull the trigger to have them demoed. Mm-hmm. Different reasons for the three properties why we haven't brought that.
Okay.
And we have hesitations, like a different hesitation for the different pieces of property.
Sure.
But to your point, we're ready too to be able to claim a success and a win after all the effort we've put into them, and perhaps doing that on one of these triggers it for the others.
Yes.
That we will do it.
Okay.
Anderson Park, my fingers are crossed. On tomorrow, we put it out to bid again. We have put a lot of work into this with Blake Sanders.
Lay hands on it. Is that what we need to do tomorrow?
Yeah. Do a prayer walk.
We need to circle it and have people praying, meditating, whatever they do to send good vibes out. But we will release the bids tomorrow, or the solicitation for the bids.
How long is the bid up? How long will
I don't recall the schedule that we built. If we receive bids, would have everything complete by the end of October.
Put you on bids back by 30 days?
It's usually about a month that we give folks. And then your last slide of could do's, increased marketing tourism promotion. We finished the website, so I give Reagan the credit for that. That was quite a heavy lift. Rebecca and Kylie were slugging through it.
Mm.
They carried all the buckets of water on that. Reagan got here and finished it off. And we have things that we're continually finding to try and enhance the ability to communicate through that. We put all the information we can out on Facebook. It's not often well received, but we still put it out there as a communication tool.
Thank you.
Riley Street property developed a redevelopment plan. Last year when we talked, you suggested that we sell the property. We had an opportunity to sell it. We didn't. So we're looking to you on what we will, what do you want us to do with that property this year? An option that we have, and again, this is where Reagan comes into play. Clemson University has some design majors that would like a project, a public green space project, and he is already two or three conversations deep in, depending on what you guys tell us you want to do with that property, to being able to have those students come in and design something that should look nice in terms of green space. Inventory of the commercial buildings, or inventory of the buildings in town, that went with the vacant building registry. I don't know if I said this a minute ago, but we had a total of 130 properties that were in the vacant building registry, and I believe 23 of those, 20 give or take, anyway, were commercial.
That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the others, except if you see no check marks, that means I don't have anything to say about it. If you see three check marks, we did a good bit of work on it. Two, a little less work. One, we did some work but didn't finish it. I'll leave this up to you. The one that I did want to highlight is number three on here. Again, singing Reagan's praises. I'm glad he's not here today. He'd have a really swollen head if he knew how well I was talking about him today. Reagan wrote a grant so that we can get the LED lights put in downtown, which I hope will be the impetus for us to get LED lights elsewhere, which should really light things up a lot better than these current lights, and then to be able to go after some more. Let's see. I'll point out number 16. We've talked about speed limits on Main Street, putting in speed humps, speed bumps, speed reducers. We haven't pulled the trigger on that. You have a heavy agenda for February, so maybe March that we come back to you with what Kevin, Caitlin, and I see as the best options there. Point to you number 26 and number 27. I think 26 was actually an idea that Matt Patterson put on the list to get the flock cameras, unfreeze positions, get the tasers, and two vehicles. We did all that this year. Fire department, you got three more firefighters. So you can't really tell, but that picture is of two people floating in the water on inner tubes.
Oh, okay, from here it looks like donuts.
Yeah. It does look like donuts. Perhaps you're hungry, so we have snacks over here. If you'd like to take a break, we could take a break. So I have 159. Boy, look at that. I said we'd take a break at 2 o'clock.
You're the man. You are the man. So
let's say we start back at 2:10.
Yeah,
no, we're good. We'll start back at 2:10.